Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
We ready? I'm on. We ready? We ready. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't let that slip out. Or just let it pour out. That's what I like. I like to pour it out. All right. What a body we have here. What a body we have. What a time of worship we have. Look at the talent. Mike's moving around, jumping around. Charlie's always moving around. We heard the flute today too. Naomi. Talking about a wealth. Talking about wealth. That's what I'm going to be speaking on a little bit about. Wealth of investments. And when you get invested, it's crazy. The wealth you get back from investments, if you make the right kind of investments. How many has ever made investments or practiced them today? Some different ways, but I tell you, there was one thing in, Enron. Anybody invested in that several years ago? So you got to be careful what you invest in, because you could lose out. But I'm not talking about investing in the world or the mammon of the world. I'm talking about in the kingdom, in Christ alone. That's just where it's at. Then you'll start seeing a wealth. Because I'm telling you right now, you're looking at me, might not look like much, but you're looking at I'm not the, but I am one of the wealthiest people in the universe. Amen. Riches, I don't care if you put rich on there, because I tell you, it's just perspective of what that is. Yep. It's not a value that man can put on it. Amen. Just like what it said, I has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things God has for them that love him. Now, not everybody's going to get it, because they don't love him. But does he love them? Most certainly. Most certainly. So that love, if you love the Lord, the word says that you'll obey him. You'll do things. You'll do. It's not about the things you do, though. But that's what shows that you love him. And guess what you get to do? That love is an investment. That love is an investment. That love is wealth. That love is riches. And we have an abundance of that here. We have an abundance of the wealth of the investments through people. You know why I know that? Because I hear the words of the Lord coming from like-minded people. You're not going to get the word of God. You're not going to hear what it said. Let us hear. Come on, let us hear. But look, let us hear your word, Lord. Rain down on us. My goodness. When these things start lining up, it just tears me slap up. You know, it's like, my God, Lord, my. You know? Pastor, was it Tuesday or Monday? You notified me about speaking, and okay, it's good. Oh, we got a little running joke we have, you know. Drop of a hat, maybe Saturday night, and he'll go, "Who are you going to do?" No, okay. Sunday morning, okay, well, whatever. But he gave me a long time, and that's not good. I'm all over the place. Okay, oh my goodness, the pressure's on, you know, like pressure. Terry, talking about pressure. You feel the pressure? Oh my goodness. We got to hear it. Lord, I got to hear from you. I got to hear from you. I don't like to speak on things that I don't know anything about. Amen. Or if I hadn't experienced such things. Because I believe that that's where the fruit, that's where that oil comes from. You know? I want that new oil. I want that fresh wine. You know, and I get it here. You know, Wednesday night, It was an accident. Pastor Terry, he's going through the gifts, right, and things, and the gift of giving was supposed to be last Wednesday. But things started stirring up. And God had a little different area and things to go through. So guess what? Pastor Terry hears, you know. He is a child of God. He knows the voice, you know. He's invested. He's invested in the Lord. And he understands the investment the Lord has in him. If not, he wouldn't be where he's sitting right now. So it's not something you take lightly either. You know, you understand the responsibility that comes, and you want to do exactly what the Lord wants you to do. And so when the Lord starts moving in a different way that you got, this is what we're going to do. You cut him out. Because just like what that scripture we was talking about just now that's already popped up two or three times, it's not entered into your mind or eye. You ain't seen or heard all the things that God has in store for you. So who knows if somebody else, when he starts moving through, you want to make sure that you're available. You have an ear to hear. See, God's speaking all the time. He hadn't stopped. And I tell you, part of that song, I'm kind of like crunching a little bit about let the love return. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. His love is here. He's not taking it away from us. But it's us that don't understand or have an ear to hear. We don't receive it. You know, so we don't understand it. So when Wednesday night came, he let the Lord move. And so he didn't start talking about the gift of giving until this Wednesday night, which I was able to hear. And the whole time I'm like, oh my goodness, he's stepping all over my stuff. Yeah, he's all in there. He's in it. I mean, my goodness, what am I going to do? It's going like I'm just writing his stuff down and trying to go over again. But you know what? It's not his. It's the Lord's. It's his word. It's his spirit. It's his flow. We just want to get in there and let it go. And so that giving and all the things that he was talking about was on top of what I had. And through my week, it just started hitting me, you know, and being invested, giving, you know, making the right investments and things and the return. And so if you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn. There's a couple of things I want to touch on. Right now, let's go. We know John 15:13. Do we know that part? Do we know that one by heart yet? That's what I do. But you probably will too once we start ripping it off. If you want to, just go to John 15:13. And we're talking about that love. You know, I keep hearing also, it's because of the one in the middle. Whew. I can have, I can have what I have because of the man in the middle. And I do have what I have because of the one in the middle. And he says in John 15:13, he says what? There's no greater love than a man that lays his life down for his friend. And I think it's so huge that we understand what that looks like. It's not that he's called us in what we understand is a martyrism, you know, that we're called to be a martyr, but it's not the fact that do we need to actually die on a cross physically like he did? No, he did that. And he was the only one that could do that because he was the only one that was 100% life. He surrendered and invested his life so that we can have that life too. But see, there's also our life is our wealth. Our life is our wealth. What do we call worthy? What do we call our life? What is that? So you know what it says about wealth? Wealth is the abundance of valuable material or possessions or resources. My wife my wife is part of my wealth. She's part of my life. My children are part of my wealth. They're part of my life. And so when I'm called to come somewhere and have to leave them at home, guess what I just did? I laid down my life to come to you, to be there. Jesus laid down his life before he even got to the cross. You get it? It's not that what we want to wrap up and think about, you know, hey, well, you know, we just got to die. No, you just die to self. Because when you think that your wealth and all these other things are more important than whatever, we need to get the concept of what wealth is. It's not money. It's not the material possessions that we have. In fact, when we're looking at these things, our mind isn't even on the Lord. We've already missed it. Because we said, well, look what God's blessed me with. Look, that we don't have to talk about things like that. We have to talk about, hey, what did he say to the disciples when he sent them out? And they come back and, no, they didn't come back with a lot of possessions, did they, when he sent them out the first time? But they come back with a lot of possessions because they come back with other people. They come back with other people, and they're saying, oh, my goodness. Lord, the demons even listen to us. We this, and now all this stuff coming up. And so we say, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's put your perspective. Let's get it in perspective, boys. He said, I want you to celebrate and be joyful because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what I want you to understand, that you have life. You have love. You have everything that I have. You have wealth, great wealth, but it's not in what power you have, the authority that you have. It's in Him and that love that He gave you. And we understand what that is. Because that's why it says, we know that we say over there in what Pastor Terry brought up in Matthew 6:24, that says that you cannot serve both God and mammon. Well, mammon in the Greek is a mammonus, something like that, you know, mammonus. But it means for wealth, treasure, or riches. So what we end up doing, either we serve God or we try to make God our servant to the mammon. Does that make sense? We start getting in there instead of we say, well, you know, well, look what God's blessed me with. Look what we did. But you know what? I'm not invested in God. And I'm going to make sense of that as we get started. I'm not invested in Him, but yet He's blessing me with all this stuff. I might not be obeying Him in my life. I might be putting myself, my wants above Him. And I'm looking around and saying, man, He's really blessing me. And then we would tell other people, man, God's really blessed me. Look, look, look. But then we're a bare tree. We're bare. We don't really have fruit in our life of Him. And we're calling what our possessions wealth, which what that's what the world wants to call it. And we're looking at these things. We're looking at our mammon. And we're really serving to accumulate these things and saying God's blessing us when we know really that God's really not moving in our life. Because what does it say in Matthew 6:33? It says, seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. So what we end up doing is we're chasing after things and calling it God instead of chasing after God and allowing these things to follow us. And we say, bless God. Well, yeah, you know, but you know what? That's the way the system in the world is working to try to keep you from making the right investment so you can rightfully become who you are so that you can have great wealth. Let's take a little walk now. Back, way back when. Let's talk about a little investment and a little wealth return. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. And some, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, the prophets and things like that. And it's, you know, Elijah, I love Elijah. I love Elijah. Elijah's thing. But I'm going to tell you what, there was a predecessor called Elisha that come in. And this is the beauty of who we are and what we need to do when we really start seeing the things and we take heed. One of the things was, before I get down in there, is one of the commands, I'm going to say one of the greatest commandments, one of the first commandments that Jesus was releasing onto the people when he came on the scene, when he started revealing himself as who he really was, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What was the first thing he was telling people? Yeah, but even before that, follow me. Follow me. He knew when he rolled up, he was this. You know, John the Baptist, he was over there telling the repentance part. But when Jesus come in, he went through the repentance baptism. He did these things, and then he went into the wilderness, right? It says the Spirit drove him in there, and he was ministered to. What are we talking about? Broken. The man of Christ was broken in that desert, in that wilderness. Said it was so much more. Said the angel had to come and minister to him, to give him the strength. And then he was adorned to walk out in power. See, he gave it all right there. He gave it all right there and walked out in power. And the first thing when he walked up to him, he looked over there to, who was it, Andrew and Peter? Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So you had a bad day. They was having a bad day, weren't they? Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They dropped those nets. What did they do? They followed him. And so on and so on. Now look what happened over here in 19. Let's go back now. See, this stuff was happening already. This stuff was happening already. The stage was being set before Christ came about following me. And he says, let's see, at the time, let's see where I'm at. In 21, 19, 19. Let's go over there. I should have probably brought my glasses, but you know, I'm trying not to get there. Trying to fight it. I got a small print Bible too, y'all. I just want to. But it's only when I go to writing and stuff, it really starts, I don't know, it just runs together. But I put that old magnifying glasses on there, we're good to go. But I can still see just good. Good enough. Good, good, good. All right, so in 19, here it is, let's go. So here's Elijah, and he just had all these things going on with him about, with Ahab and Jezebel and all these things, and he went running, you know, left. He got down and out. Things weren't going. And so the Lord spoke to him and told him some things that he needed to do. And one of those things, he said to go down and find Elisha and call him. And you shall anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel and Mahola. And he called him in. And that's up in 17, 16 in there. But so down in 19, he says, so he departed from there, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him, and threw his cloak on him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? And it says, so Elisha returned from following him and took a yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes from the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he got up and went after Elijah and ministered to him. What does that look like to you? What does that look like to you? Hey, if you had 12 yoke of oxen, I think you was wealthy in the eyes of the world and standards. You was rich. You could work. You did the things you needed to do. But what did Elisha do? He took it all away. Would you say that he made a great investment that day? Just not great just by the return, because we don't know the return yet. But he made a great investment because it cost him everything. His entire livelihood of who he was, he invested. And just because the man of God said, follow me, come on. But you see what he did? What did Elijah do to him? He just didn't say, come follow me. He threw his cloak on him. His identity. He said, I'm giving you my life right here, right now, to follow me. Come and learn from me. Who does that look like? What happened when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the donkey? Everybody's shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. But what did it say about the people? It says some of them took off their cloaks and laid them down before Christ. They gave Christ their identity, because then a man's cloak was his identity. That's how you recognize them, by the what they wore, their cloak. And their cloak was like a mantle. It was the things that you did. That's what represented who you were, and that was where it was. So here we are. Elijah's telling Elisha, I'm going to cover you with who I am. You come follow me. And Elisha knew right then and there, this man's serious. He's serious. And so Elisha tears everything down and burns it, even eats the ox. What's there to go back to when you do such a thing? Is there turning back? That's a full investment, isn't it? That's putting it all in. So what was the return for him? What happened to Elisha after that? He followed. We'll go to 2 Kings. Look at 2 Kings. We'll start off at the first verse. I know I got to slow down a little bit, speed up a little bit, know when to go. But I couldn't help but going back to that, you know, when I first read that years ago, going through, and I'm like, man, you know, he gave it all away. He gave it all just so he could follow this man. It's just a, you know, and if you read the word and you keep going through, I believe you'll find a pattern all the way through of numerous different people. Numerous different people who laid their life down, or who give their investments, who gave everything, that their livelihoods and things to do it. Look at Rahab. Remember her? Did she risk anything to try to take care of the spies? Because she had a whiff and a revelation of who God's people are and who the real Lord God was. That scarlet thread. So I said, look what happened. This is return. And you see, that's the beauty of the other side of it. Just because of who he is why I, or who you or them, wants to invest in the Lord. Once you meet him, it's really a no-brainer. You know, he is totally irresistible, man. You know, just by that encounter, it's like, wow. Holy Spirit rain down, when His presence starts raining down on you, or you come in that encounter of His presence. I didn't have to ask anybody, or I didn't have to have anybody tell me whose presence I was under. It changed me. I wanted to do it, whatever. I had to give it all. You know, you hear a lot of people say, well, I did it. I told the Lord, if He'd save me from this, I'd do that. Okay, good. Have you done it yet? He's not bargaining with us. You don't have to bargain with the Lord. He's not asking you for anything. And if you hear Him asking you for something, you better go ahead and you better think about it. It's okay, well, I'm giving it. Because the reason He's asking you for it is because it's a hindrance to you. Or it's a god to you. It's an idol to you. And He wants you to come after Him. He wants you to have more understanding of what it is. But all through the Word, you find people who's doing these things, not because they had to, it's because they love them. Or they knew, just by that presence, the Spirit of God. He's here, and He's around. And when He rains down, it gets me sideways. Look what it has over here. Then, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, wait here, tarry here, I ask of you, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. Well, the sons of the prophet, it says, but Elijah said to him, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord is going to take away your master from you? He said, yeah, I know. You just keep silent. Elijah said to them, Elijah said, stay here again. The Lord has sent me on to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they entered Jericho together. Well, the sons of the prophets who were in Jericho approached Elijah and said to him, do you know that today the Lord is taking away your master from you? Elisha says, yes. Keep silent. I know. Here's Elijah again. He says, now, stay here, for the Lord has sent me down to the Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. And the two of them went on. Why wouldn't Elisha leave Elijah? Why would he not stay? He was telling him to stay there. But why would Elisha not leave him? He was invested. He was invested. He was invested so much. Don't you understand? Just like with my wife. He says today the man will leave his mama and his daddy, and he will leave and he will marry, and the two will become one. And when you say I do, guess what you did? You did. You done it. Oh, it's over for you now. Oh, man, it's just now beginning. Because you know the return. You know the return is that much, it's double. It's double. Well, what are you talking about? Well, let's look on over here. It says in verse 7, 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood at a distance, and the two of them stood by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his robe, and he rolled it up, and he struck the water, and it was divided from one side to the other. It's like, my goodness. Then the two of them crossed on dry ground. See, some of us don't even know, man, we think only the Red Sea was the one that got split. Only Moses done that. Well, Moses didn't do that either. The power of God did that. Well, Elijah didn't do that either. He just done that, and guess who? The power of God split the Jordan. That's not the only time the Jordan got broke open either. When they come on over to Jerusalem, they got split then too, didn't it? God's moving it. He's going to move in our lives. But look what he said. The two crossed on. And as they were crossing, Elijah said to Elisha, ask for something and I will do it for you before I am taken away from you. And Elijah said, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Let the double portion fall upon me. Let what you have and what I have become one, and let it be double. Does that not remind you of anything the Lord said? He said that you will do greater things than I've done. You will do these things. Why? Because here we are. We are a double portion now. We're two that become one. Maybe y'all not feeling this. He's invested in us. Are we invested in him? Is it just one-sided? I'm telling you, one side's enough. But it also says over and over, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Why do we just sit back and not really know the love of God? Not really know who Jesus Christ is. And we sit back and say, yeah, I believe. We go keep doing our own thing. We've not invested one thing in this kingdom. We're not invested one thing in the love of God. We've not even received the love of God. Because if you receive the love of God, you're going to give the love of God. And you're going to be fully invested if you really know who he is and you're coming. If not, I'm telling you what, you're going to be a slothful person. A sluggard. Lazy. I ain't going to say not good for nothing. I ain't going to say that. I had that told me a lot. I'm not saying that. You're good for something. You are good for something. But if we don't invest and put in our things that we want to try to hold on to because we're trusting in them instead of trusting in who the Lord is, we won't reach that potential. We won't become who we're supposed to. We won't really see the double portion of the Spirit of God upon our lives. See, look what happened to Elijah. He said, okay, here we are. You're going to get it. He said, you have asked for a difficult thing, but if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will happen to you. If not, it won't. As they continued walking and talking, he said, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. Elisha was watching and crying, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he did not see him again. Then he grabbed his own clothes and tore them into pieces. He picked up the robe of Elijah that fell from him. And he returned and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And he took the robe of Elijah that fell from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he had struck the water, it parted from one side to the other, and Elisha crossed over. See, sometimes in our life, we don't, you know, it's like we can't see the Lord. Just like what we're talking about in that verse, you know, of 1 Corinthians 2:9, that's where it's at. It says that eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the good things that the Lord has for those who love him. And when those things start happening to us, when we really have that encounter with him, when we have it, it's look, we don't have to see. See, he's taken away, but you know, and we tore up when things aren't getting, when we see we get pressure, we get complexed with the things of the world and maybe the trials or the tribulations, the bills, the trying to have and not have, whatever, man. And then we're sitting here striving to do these things on our own. And we feel all these things and we look around, my goodness, where is you at? Where are you at, Lord? And we get to this place, it's like, my goodness, and all we got to do is really just take what he's got, just what's the problem? Just like what Elisha did, just roll up that mantle. Roll up that cover. Roll it up and strike the water and we can cross over. knowing who we are in the Lord. Look what it looks like. It said the wealth, we already said, was a wealth, was the abundance of valuable material possessions or the resources. We want to do that. So what we want to do is we want to invest that. Well, what is invest? Invest comes from a medieval Latin, investire. You know what that says? You know what it means? It means to clothe. What happened to Elijah? So he tore off his stuff, but what fell on him? The cloak, the mantle, the cloth. Why do we say, oh, he's a man of the cloth? What does that mean? That means that man is supposed to now. Some of them kind of got it the wrong way. That means a man that's invested his wealth, his livelihood. He's laid it down so that the covering of God will be seen upon him. Known upon him. The truth. It says to furnish. It's to clothe. To furnish with power or authority. Or to adorn. To adorn. Maybe even with ornaments or whatever. So when Elisha come walking through, they knew who he was again. What happened to the Pharisees that Jesus talked about, you know, beware of them? What happened? What would they wear? Oh, they was looking good, wasn't they? See, they was clothing themselves in their own attire, adorning themselves in the ephods, all this stuff. They want to look the part. But they were man-made. They hadn't invested anything. Pastor brought up Wednesday, and I said, it's one of the beautiful things, the story of the old woman who come through. It says, Jesus called the disciples over. He said, hey, boys, look at this. Watch this. Look what she's about to do. Everybody's walking by and throwing in, you know, little hunks of gold and coins, things, you know, wow, wow. And this little lady come walking through, and they said he gave her like 2 mites, 2 pennies. But he said it was everything she had. It was her whole livelihood. She laid it down. She laid it down. And he says, you tell me who gave more here today. Well, you know, these guys, you know, she did. She did. She just invested everything she had. Over in Mark 4:14, you see the story of the lady. Some call her a prostitute, harlot. She had an encounter with Christ. The reason they say that, because she come with an alabaster jar. Perfume. Ointment. And they said when she come in, hey, she had to go through some stuff just to get in there to see him. Because they wouldn't let her in there. But she got in. And as she come to the feet of Jesus, she took that alabaster jar and she broke it and poured it on him. And I was like, whoa, what are you doing? That's expensive stuff. We could do this, we could do that. What did Jesus tell him? Don't you bother her. Whew. What she's done here today is a beautiful thing. What was it that she gave? What did she just do? She says, my life is nothing without you, Lord. I don't need this smell good stuff anymore. For my life has changed because I've encountered you. And all that I have, I'm going to give it to you. Everything I got. I'm not in that business anymore. I'm not in the world anymore. I'm in the kingdom. And my mind has been changed. I'm on kingdom stuff. My investments are in you. Don't put your eggs all in one basket. Unless that's the hand of the Lord. You can put every single egg you got in there, can't you, Steve? No matter how many eggs and quail lay in there. You put them all in that basket with Christ, can't you? He's going to come through with it. It's all in him. It's all his. What was the return for that lady there who done all that? We don't know the rest of her life and how it all went out specifically. But there was one beautiful thing that Christ said. Whenever you hear this gospel, she's going to be in it. Just like you. Just like you. Just like y'all who've laid it down. You are part of the gospel. You are part of the good news. Wherever we hear the good news, you can put yourself in it. Because you are the good news because of what Christ did for you. You've accepted those things. You've invested in these things. You don't have anywhere else to go. What did Peter say over there in John 6? When he said, hey, Jesus said, take of my blood, drink of my blood, eat of my flesh, do these things. And all these people, oh my goodness. See, verse 66 over there says that the men went their own way. Why did they leave? Why did they leave? Oh, it was a hard saying. Man, yeah, it was a hard saying. Because they didn't understand. Why did they leave? They weren't invested. They weren't invested. We say in Mark 10, in closing, in Mark 10 and 17 through 25, you'll see the story of the rich young ruler. And he comes up to Christ and asking him these things about being perfect or wanting to be in the kingdom. What must I do to be part of this kingdom and the things that you're talking about? And the Lord tells him, hey, you do this, sell what you have and give and follow me. And what does he say? What happened to the man? He turned and went away too, didn't he? And dropped his head. They said because he had great riches. He didn't want to give those things away. He couldn't do those kind of things. So he went away downtrodden and with his head down. And look what it says over in 29 and 31 about the disciples. This is one of my favorite things, man, because I've walked through there. I walked that trail. Peter says over there in 28, he says, look, we have left everything and followed you. Just like he said in John over there, he says, I don't have anywhere else to go. I'm in. Oh, Jesus told him a little comfort, didn't he? He said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left a house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake and for the gospel's sake who shall not receive 100 times as much now in this age. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields. But you're going to be persecuted too. Because the world ain't going to want you to do that. They're going to be over there like the prophets of, don't you know he's leaving you? Don't you know he's about to leave you high and dry? You still following him? Hey. I had my brother call me up, man. When I had that encounter. He says, boy, you better get your head out your tail. He probably didn't use those words. He's a sailor. You get your head out your tail. You got 2 children. You need to be a man. You need to be a man. What's wrong with you? I said, well, I can't really explain what's wrong with me, because I really don't know other than I had an encounter with Jesus. And I got to know if he is who he says he is. Because I told him I was his. I gave it all to him. And I said, what he's going to make of me is what he's going to make of me. Because I've not made anything. I'm 36 years old, and I've not made anything out of my life. I'm undone. Randy, are you back there? If Randy's back there, if he could start playing a song, let's finish this thing up. I'm going to have to get a little tissue, y'all. Y'all know how I am. So I wished I could say, you know, that things started moving in a different direction when I hung up that phone with my brother, but then it really got a little more difficult in my life. Because then I was in South Carolina, and then that's when the Lord said, hey, I want you to go to North Carolina. Okay, what am I going to do? You're going to go. Well, what's going to happen? If I told you that, wouldn't be faith, would it? I said, yes, sir. So I left, and I came up here. I mean, it was on my oldest son's birthday was coming up. I messed around and told the Lord I loved him more than anything. I didn't lie to him. I said, I love you more than my children. I love you more than anything, Lord. Because you gave me life, and I know you did. There's no doubt that I've been born again. There's no doubt that I'm an eternal being now. There's no doubt that I have love and I have life that I've never knew before. There's no doubt in my heart what happened to me. So if you tell me to go, I'm going. I don't have to know what's on the other side. I'm going because I know you're with me. I'm telling you, I wish it was just, you know, from then on, it was just so beautiful. I mean, I was lost. I wasn't lost, but I was lonely because I didn't have this. But you know what? He never left me or forsook me. You know why? He's fully invested. He is fully invested in every single one of you. There's no going back with him. He's gave what he's gave. He left what he left. He went to the cross. And because the one in the middle, you can be with him in paradise. And it's not off over yonder somewhere. He said, I'm going to bring it back to you. Because when I go, my presence, can you hit that? His presence, his spirit is going to be with you, and it's going to be in you forever. And that's what's going to give you the power. That's what's going to give you the authority to do to the things that you're supposed to do. It's going to give you the ability to take that cloak and to hit that Jordan and open those waters so you can walk through. And as it says, everything that I left behind, my goodness, I didn't leave anything behind. If I give it all, I found a wife. And the word says, hey, who finds a wife finds a good thing in favor of the Lord. And my goodness, I repent today because I ain't treated her the way she's supposed to be treated at times. I don't treasure her. Because the Lord says over there, what a man treasures, his heart will be also. My family, I treasure them. My heart is with them. But I'm going to tell you, just like what Moses said, if your spirit don't go before me, Lord, I can't go. How's anybody going to know I'm different? How's anybody going to know that you set me apart for you? He did. He set every single one of us apart from this world for Him. And there's not one person different in the eyes of the Lord. He loves you all. So if you have an urge to encounter the Lord on a way that you never have, let's make an investment here this morning. Let's make a decision to say, you know what, Lord? I've got this and I've got that, but I can't trust in those things. Because in the Proverbs it says, man who trusts those things are going to grow wings and they're going to fly away one day, just like Elijah did. Then what you're going to be left with? It's not in one man that's going to hold the kingdom of God. It's in the body of Christ now. We need each other. We need to understand that what we have is what we're going to give. And if we give that, we're going to start learning the more things of what God has. Because it says over there, it says that those who love Him, it's not even entered into them yet. But if you love Him, you're going to start getting more of Him. You're going to start tapping into the things that you don't even know. You're going to find Him faithful, because if you don't step out in faith, He can't show you He's faithful. He can't show you how much He loves. He's already demonstrated His love for you. It says on the cross, when you was yet undone and in sin, He displayed His love for you up on that cross. And then we still don't even comprehend that. We don't understand that because we never really stepped out anything. We've not invested anything. So therefore, we can be like the men and say, hey, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. No, I'm going to walk away because you don't have anything in it. You have the ability to walk away because you didn't have the ability. You have the ability, but you didn't choose to go all in. We're still hanging on to some mammon somewhere. We're still hanging on to maybe our riches or whatever it is. Even our family sometimes, we want to put them above. Well, I can't do this. Just like what Elijah said, hey, let me go tell them. Let me go kiss them by first. But he said, hey, I'm going to do this. Just like they said over in Luke 9. They said, hey, let me go do this. Let me go do that. Let me go do this. But I follow you. Come follow me. This isn't a message for your salvation today. This is a message of understanding. Do you really understand who the Lord is? Do you understand that He's all in? Do He know that He's fully invested in you? And when you go ahead and start trying to get a hold of that, and you start saying, you know what? I'm going to put in my part too. Because with two, there's a greater gain. See, a husband and a wife, we can run things, but if we're single-minded in it, our wheel won't roll. It's going to have a flat spot. But if you put yourself in, because God's all in, if you put yourself in with your spouse, she puts herself in with you, y'all really become one, that flat spot starts ironing out and becomes more rounder, and y'all going to start rolling. You're going to start seeing your return in your investment. When you put in with the Lord, you're going to start seeing a greater return in your investment in the kingdom of God. You'll start seeing the prosperity, the authority, the goodness of who He is. And the reason you can see those things and be trusted with them, because as you start accumulating things, you know it's not in that. It's not in 100 acres. It's not in multiple cars. It's not in multiple businesses. It's in Him. And you can be trusted with those things now because you sought the Lord and His righteousness. And you allow Him to do things through you, and your eyes aren't on the stuff. It's on Him. It's time. Give it to Him. Give Him. Give him what you got. I told somebody today, I said, man, even as a child, I never liked to use the steps on a swimming pool. I always liked to use that diving board to get in. I tiptoe down them steps. I turn around and get back out. Oh, it's cold. But if I come off that diving board, I don't care how cold it is, guess what I'm at? I'm in it. I got to go through it, at least to get to the steps to get back out. So I hope you've been challenged today in a way and just moved in a way to know that, hey, God's got you. God's got you. But nobody else does or anything else. Break off a little bit and invest him. I know, it's wise. Maybe not to give him all at one time. Give him what we call a tithe. 10%, but not just of your money, your mammon, man. Your life. Your life. And watch what he does with it. Watch the return. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love and life. If anything or anybody in here that's moving and needs to be dealt with, Lord God, I ask that you, Holy Spirit, will just continue to move upon their heart. Show yourself to them today, Lord. Show yourself to them in this week, Lord. Allow them to encounter that love that's irresistible. That they'd be willing to burn all the yoke, oxens, the alabaster jar, Lord, whatever they might be trusting in, whatever they might be holding on to, Lord, so that we can grow in you and grow together, so that your kingdom will come and your will be done in each and every one of us, Lord God. So this could be an epicenter place, so that whatever it is, Lord, the world will see your kingdom and your glory through your children. And they will glorify you because you are real. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That was a wonderful message today. All in. Amen. All in. Don't forget your tickets. Be here. Be back here tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll laugh together. How about that? And Pastor Charlie walked into the office this morning before the service, and he was telling me, he said, yeah, I'm missing about four of my team today, and we've got some difficult songs to do. And I could tell it was weighing on him. Not that he was bothered, but it was just weighing on him. And I said, well, Pastor, let me tell you. Just give him what's in your sack. Y'all made your plans. Now just give him what you got. And they did a great job because it's about the presence of God, the anointing of God, and giving what you have to him, and he'll do the rest. Yes. What am I supposed to do now?
We're light up there too. We had some light with the media people too today. We're light work
up there too. But God made it. God went through. We went through with him. Amen. Let's all stand.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this message today. Thank you for the presence of God in our midst. Thank you for giving us life. And Lord, may we use our lives as being spent for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Get your tickets if you don't have them. And make sure you bring them tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.